you know, I started my personal training, and so walking up those flight of steps wasn't easy. Well, I don't mind leg day in a gym, but it's just the next 2 days that I can't stand. Pun intended, do you get it? You have no sense of humor, huh? How about this one? There were two Canadian men who were, you know, heavy lifting in a gym. And once they were done working out in the gym, they went to the locker room. One dude said to the other, "I'm sore, eh?" And the other said, "What for?" "Sore, eh? Sorry, sorry." Okay. Man! How about this one? What is the favorite genre of music of a heavy lifter, weight lifter? This is very easy. Heavy metal. Correct. Anyways, this morning I want to be speaking on the subject of a divine convergence. You know, this year is a very unusual year we've stepped into. It's a very prophetic year as well. Now, we live in the Gregorian calendar, and so this year for us, it's 2026. But God does not move through the Gregorian calendar. He actually moves in tandem in the Hebraic calendar. And so this is the Hebrew year 5786. It is the decade of the 80, and every number in Hebrew has a alphabet, has a word attached to it. So the number 80, the decade we're living in prophetically this year, is it actually means, is the word, the Hebrew word pay, P-E-Y. 80 means pay, and pay means word, mouth, declaration, decree, proclamation, what you're saying, that's the word pay. Now, the number 6 is in the Hebrew alphabet, Vav. Can everybody say Vav? V-A-V. Now, it is a picture of a nail or a hook. In fact, the alphabet in Hebrew looks like that. Can we put up the Hebrew word Vav? The next one. That's how it looks like, Vav, the Hebrew word. That's right. Now, that looks like a hook. It's a picture of a nail. And what it signifies is connection. It means manifestation. It means a spiritual alignment. Now, the number 6 denotes the number of men, and it also denotes the number of a divine linkage. In other words, divine convergence. It shows a time of connecting heaven and earth. Amen. It's seen as a period of breakthroughs, of divine positioning, of a spiritual revival where spoken declarations, what comes out of our mouths, become a reality. We can say that this is the set time of the year where there is grace and an open portal for us to declare truly and rightly, let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done in my life here on this earth as it is in heaven. Somebody say amen. We're going to see a connection, a divine convergence like never before. The word Vav in Hebrew literally means this. Number one, heaven meets earth. Heaven meets earth. We're coming into a time of connection with heaven like never before. A powerful conduit of divine communication with heaven and a supernatural manifestation. You know, here in Orchard Towers, the last few weekends, we have been getting testimonies of different people who are attending the services here. One said, you know, actually many, several actually said they had a sense and a witness of angelic activity in this place. Angels ascending and descending like an open portal here. There was one lady who testified after she walked out of the hall, her face was filled with gold dust. I mean, it's a supernatural manifestation. And then concurrently to that, another person said, I saw a vision of angels pouring into Orchard Towers gold liquid. That's powerful. And every time we gather here, it's an open portal. It's a time of divine convergence where heaven meets earth. Amen. And so the first time we see the word Vav in the Bible is right in the beginning of scriptures. This is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. It connects what came before and what came after. And so let's check this out. It's the value 6. Remember, 6 means Vav, right? So in the beginning, I want to do something silly. In the beninging, okay, never mind. In the beginning, God created the heavens. Number 6, value Vav. Vav, the earth. It connects heaven and the earth. It is a word of divine linkage. And when you study the word Vav, in Hebrew, you actually see something really fascinating. You know, when the scribes would copy the Torah, and once it was perfect, they would actually write the Hebrew word vav at the top of every corner of the scroll. Now, this was to signify that the scroll is connected to all the other words in the scroll before, and it was going to connect to all the other scrolls that would come after. Because how many of you know God's word is complete? God's word is all connected. You cannot take out one part and discard the other. The word of God is not a buffet. You don't eat what you want and then discard what you don't like. It is an eat all. Amen. The New Testament, the Old Testament, connected. Genesis to Revelations, connected. In fact, we would say this, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, hidden. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, manifested. I mean, even the Feast of Israel in the Old Testament all points to Jesus, the Messiah. So we've got to all understand that it is all connected. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, it's all connected. It's all connected. It's a divine linkage. Now, Jesus taught us to pray this prayer in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Essentially, what this literally means in the Greek original text of the Bible, when we pray, let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are saying this in the Greek original text. It says this, superimpose heaven on earth. That's what we're praying. Superimpose heaven on earth. If it's not happening in heaven, then it shouldn't be happening on earth. Is there corruption in heaven? No, then it shouldn't be happening on earth. Is there chaos and anxiety and fear and division in heaven? No, then it shouldn't be happening on earth. And so our heart's cry as the people of God is this, God, superimpose heaven on earth. And if you think this is an impossible feat, let me remind us all that it was Jesus who taught us to pray this prayer. Everywhere he went, he demonstrated it. He tells us that we can actually pull heaven down to earth, connect heaven to earth, because Jesus knew that he himself was going to be the vav. He was going to be the connection point between heaven and earth. Jesus coming to the earth, being born of the Virgin Mary, the whole purpose of his coming was to connect heaven to earth and earth to heaven. Somebody say amen. Jesus became the vav of God, the divine linkage of God. When Jesus hung on that cross, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Essentially, he was saying this, I don't want my people to be living outside in the courtyards anymore. I want them to come right into the Holy of Holies where my very presence dwells. You see, my friends, Jesus didn't come to give us another religion. Religion is dead. It's got no power to change you or to save you. He became the vav for us so that we can enter into a living relationship with him. Amen. In fact, the word nails also is the word vav, right? The nails that Jesus took in his hands that connected him to the cross, the vav. So when he took the vav in his hands, essentially this was what he's saying. I am coming so that I can redeem the work of your hands. You should be shouting a big amen to that. Remember in the Garden of Eden, when man sinned, God said this, you are going to labor. It's going to be toil, right? You're going to work so hard that sweat is going to come down your brow. It's going to be laborious. I mean, it's going to be toil and burden. But when Jesus Christ came dying on the cross for us, he reversed that curse. He wants to bless the work of your hands. He wants to redeem the work of our hands, that it's not toil. It's not toil. Now, we believe in working hard. We believe in excellence, right? Doing everything for the glory of God. We believe in hard work. In fact, the Bible has a lot to talk about the diligent man and also the lazy man. But it shouldn't be toil. Right? It shouldn't be heaviness. There should be joy in what God has called us to do. Come on. So God's breaking the curse of the toil. When he took the vav in his hands, I am redeeming the work of your hands. Wow. He became the vav for us. I mean, when Jesus took the vav, the nails in his feet, What was he saying? I believe Christ was saying to us, I'm going to send you to nations. I will send you to communities, and everywhere you go, preach the kingdom and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus says, I'm putting nails in my feet where the enemy has stolen dominion. Because feet represents dominion. Joshua says it this way, everywhere that your feet tread upon, that land I have given it to you. It's taking territory, it's taking dominion. And so the Lord is restoring dominion back to his people when he took the vow into his feet. Amen. Now, but of course, the vital question is there a possibility that things are settled in heaven but not yet settled on earth? Right? So, for example, my healing is settled in heaven, but sometimes it's not yet settled in the earth. My breakthrough is settled in heaven, but not yet settled in the earth. My miracle or your family, your marriage, settled in heaven, and yet sometimes not quite yet settled on the earth. Church, this is where we must become the valve and reach into heavenly realms and start pulling heaven down into earth. We become the valve. Can you ask me how? I'm glad you asked. Remember I told you we're living in the decade of the 80, and 80 means pay, and pay means your mouth, your declarations. Number two is this, there is power in the spoken word. Your mouths, church, are valves that connects you to heaven. So what's coming out of your mouth? Let's do a reflection today. What's coming out of our mouths? What are the words connecting us to? Is our mouth connecting us to sickness, to poverty, to division, to discouragement, to defeat? Or are our mouths connecting us to the enemy's agenda instead of God's will? Are our mouths connecting us to depression, to fear, to hopelessness? You know, I read this Eureka book. And it says this, did you know that the speech center of the human brain dominates all the other nerves in your body? According to research, the speech center of the brain has very great influence over the nervous systems. So due to the greater influence of the speech center of the brain, it can control your bodies into the direction it so desires. For example, when a person keeps saying, I am growing weaker, the message is delivered to all the nerves of the body and they say, let's prepare to grow weaker. We must be weak under the instructions from the brain. Then the nerves actually begin to prepare to grow weaker. Or when a person says, I am unable, I am incapable, here am I, God, but send him or send her. I'm not charismatic enough. I really can't accomplish this task. Then all the nerves begin to reflect this message saying, that's right, the central nervous system instructs us that we would be incapable. We have to give up developing any ability. We must prepare to become incapable. Or how about the old people? I mean the older people. When a person keeps saying, I am too old, I am too tired to do anything, leave it to the young people lah. The speech center exercises its influence and controls the response of the body. All the nerves reflect the message and say, we are old. We are ready to be put into a grave. Let's prepare to decay. If a person continues to say that he or she is old, the person will indeed grow older and die much more quickly. Think about that. That's fascinating, right? If you want to know how much faith you got, listen to what your mouth is saying. What comes out of our mouth really shows our faith. It shows the abundance of our heart, what's actually inside of us. Our mouths are valves that are connecting us to the things of God. So are we speaking faith or are we speaking fear? Are we speaking death or are we speaking life? Because Proverbs says that the power of life and death is in the power of your tongue. Are we proclaiming, declaring, prophesying, and speaking what God says into the earth, into the atmospheres of our homes? Or are we grumbling, murmuring, and complaining? I know Singaporeans, we love to complain and murmur and grumble all the time. In fact, do you know the Hebrew root meaning of the word complain literally means to remain or to stay another night? Does this sound familiar? Which account in the Bible says this? The children of Israel, the journey of Israel. Remember how they were in the wilderness when Moses delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt? And they complained all the time. Why take us out of Egypt? There's garlic, there's leek, there's onion, there's chili padi, there's brumba. Why take us out of Egypt? In the wilderness every day, manna, 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 manna itu manna. Manna every day. Why, Moses? And they complain. So what happens? Remain another night in the wilderness. More murmurings. Remain another night in the wilderness. One night became two nights, became three nights, became 1 year, became 40 years. And in 40 years, a whole generation perished and died in the wilderness because of their complaints and their murmurings and the lust of their flesh. And so with the children of Israel, their complaining prolonged. It delayed the purposes of God for them. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 28, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, just as you have complained in my hearing, I will do to you. And I tell you what, this should put the fear of God in our hearts. Some of us are living in our own self-fulfilling prophecies through our complainings. Some of us, we pray for God to intervene and into our situations, and then we're also complaining at the same time, right? About the very thing that we're praying and trusting God to deliver us from. You know what we're doing? We're literally opening up the door for God to move in our situation and slamming the door in His face with our complaints. It's like we open the door for the Holy Spirit to move, and then we quench the Holy Spirit. This is some high-level stuff here, man. Confession through our lips become the foundation of success in our lives. Your life is governed by your spoken word, by what you say. And so look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of, can we read that together, of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now the writer of Hebrews calls Jesus the high priest of our confession. What is confession? It is literally saying the same S. Saying the same S. So for us as believers in the Bible and in Jesus Christ, our confession means that we say the same with our mouth as God says in His word. Our words are aligned with what He says in the truth of the living word. We make the words of our mouth agree with the word of God. And so Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Do you see the linkage there? Which means, check this out. No confession, no high priest. He is the high priest of our confession, not His confession, our confession. So when we don't confess with our mouths through the power of spoken word, Christ cannot advocate for us. He only moves on our behalf when we make the right confession in the truth of His word. Do you see that? No confession, no high priest. And so whether you call it a testimony or you call it a confession, because Revelation says it this way, we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by not loving our lives even unto the death. Whether you call it a testimony or a confession, it is absolutely indispensable for you to receive your salvation and the breakthroughs of the Lord. Jesus said, by your words, you are justified, and by your words, you are also condemned. That's why James writes it aptly in chapter 1 and verse 19. He says, so then, my beloved brothers, let every man, and if you're sitting beside your husband, no, just kidding, okay, or beside your wife, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, hence slow to wrath or slow to anger. That's why God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth, right? We're called to hear more, listen more than talk. Anger has got more often than not, anger is correlated with our mouths. If you had problems with getting angry, it's because probably you have a problem with your mouth. You know, they say there are 3 kinds of people in the world. The first kind of people are those who think before they speak, very wise. The second kind of people are those who are thinking while they are speaking, not so wise. But there's a third group of people who only think after they speak, very unwise. Sometimes we say things, we're like, oops, I wished I didn't say that. You thought before you spoke. And that's why, let me teach you this acronym. The next time you're about to say something that you know could potentially be releasing a negative impact or death over somebody or hopelessness over a situation, tell yourself, wait. Everybody say, wait. Ask yourself this, why am I talking? Why am I talking? Is what I'm about to say beneficial? Is what I'm going to say bringing an impact of influence for the positive? Or am I speaking death, depression, fear, anxiety? I mean, a lot of parents, sometimes we control our children with the fear tactic. Better don't go and play the bangla. Fear tactic. What is coming out of our mouths? Wait, why am I talking? Proverbs 10:19 says it this way, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. You know, there is creative power in words. With words, God created the world. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so there's power in your spoken words. Watch what's coming out of your mouths. Amen. Make an intentional effort this year. If there's nothing good to say, don't say. Restrain your lips, then you are wise. As I bring this to a landing, number three is this. Vav also means establishing in stability and security. Vav also means to be anchored, to be established in stability and security. Now, Isaiah chapter 22, verses 22 and 23, we can all quote this scripture. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. He shall open and no one shall shut. He shall shut and no one shall open. I will fasten him. I will secure him as a peg. What's a peg? A nail, a vav, a tent peg in a secret, in a secure place. And he will become a glorious throne to his father's house. Now, let me give you the context of why Isaiah 22:22 was written. In those days, the right-hand man to the king was called the keeper of the keys. And the keeper of the keys would wear keys on his shoulder. He walks around with keys on his shoulder. That grants him access to the treasure room, to the very access of the king's presence. And in those days, the keeper of the keys was a man by the name of Shebna. Now, the Bible describes Shebna to be a wicked, corrupted, perverse ruler. It was all about himself. He wanted to build a monument to himself. And so the Lord said, I am going to myself violently remove Shebna, and I will raise up another man, and his name is Eliakim. In fact, the name Eliakim literally means whom God raises up. What a great name. Eliakim. Whom God raises up. You know, and I think we're living in a day where God is dethroning, you could say, people from all different spheres and mountains, the business mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, etc. People like Shebna, who have ruled and governed with corruption and wickedness and with an antichrist agenda. It's like there is a sensing that God is saying, your time is up. Your time is up. And he's shifting them out of positions, and he is now raising up people like Eliakims. Eliakims. Those who will rule and govern with righteousness. And that's how Isaiah 22 was written. Then God said to Eliakim, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him, establish him as a nail in a sure place, a vav. And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. Wow. The nail represents that which is fixed, immovable, established, dependable. And this scripture, of course, is a foreshadowing ministry of Jesus Christ in our lives in this new covenant. Our lives are not anchored by shifting circumstances, amen? Our lives cannot be anchored by shifting economies. I mean, financial economies rise and fall all the time. Our lives as believers of Christ must be anchored, established, stabilized and secured in the unchanging nature of Jesus Christ. You know, another time you read in scriptures about nails and vav, the word vav is the story of Jael. Remember Jael? I think JL doesn't get talked about a lot. We talk a lot about Deborah. But you know, they were living in the same time, in the same era. Now, of course, Deborah is probably this loud woman, not like me. She's probably a commander of, she's a commander, she's a prophetess, she's a judge. And so she comes to Barak, who is the leader of the Israel army, the general. And she says, why are we not going against the enemies of Israel, the Canaanites, who are taking our lands? And so she together with Barak, they lead the army of Israel into battle against the Canaanites. Now, then the Canaanite king was a man by the name of Jabin. And he had a general of the army called Sisera. Anyways, long story cut short, God gives Deborah, Barak, and the army of Israel great victory, triumph over the Canaanites. Now, Sisera, the general of the Canaanite army, managed to escape. And so he runs into the wilderness, he escapes by the skin of his teeth, and he sees a tent. That's JL's tent. That's JL's home. He hides himself in JL's home, and look at what happens. This is Judges chapter 4, verses 21 onwards. It says, then JL, Heber's wife, took a nail, a vav, off the tent. She took a hammer in her hand, and she went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Wow! Who needs K-drama when you have such content in the Bible? I mean, think about that. Visualize it. And I love JL because she wasn't this like great prophetess or some judge or some commander of the army. She was just a housewife. And I want to encourage every housewife and mother here, you also have a part to play. Come on. Don't say, I'm just a housewife. I'm just a mother. No, you're not just a housewife. JL said, not on my watch. I have a part to play in this battle as well. Well, she didn't have a sword. She didn't have a gun. She didn't have some sort of weapon, but she had a tent peg. She looked around her home and she saw what she had in the house. She took the tent peg and she nailed it. She smote it. She drove it into Sisera's temples and he died. I love this woman, JL. Verse 23, so God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel, and the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. Now, our battle is not one against flesh and blood, but it is one against principalities and powers of the air. And I believe that Satan has stolen the minds of our generation. The names here are very significant. The name Jabin means false intellect of man's wisdom. The name Sisera, whom JL drove the vav into and he died, means meditation. False meditation. And I believe that the enemy has gotten into the heads and the minds of an entire generation. It's twisted and perverted, and things that people would never have believed, suddenly they are believing. It says, JL drove the tent peg, the nail, down the enemy's head. Now, in scripture, the head represents what? Authority, represents your thoughts, represents strongholds, right? The stronghold of the mind, okay? And so JL's strike indicates the crushing of oppression and the dismantling of destructive mindsets. And I believe we're coming into this prophetic hour where God is coming against destructive mindsets. He's exposing it. He's addressing it. He wants to bring deliverance to it. As I bring this to a landing, the worship team, I want to close by saying this. Ultimately, Vav. Jesus himself became the Vav of God for us. Vav speak of our covenant with the Lord. It's a covenant. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 4. From him, from Christ, shall come the cornerstone. From him, the tent peg. That's the word Vav. From him, the battle bow. From him, every ruler. All of them together. Now, what's the cornerstone? That's Christ, our foundation. What's the tent peg, the vav? That's Christ, our anchor. He comes to establish us. That our walk with Christ is not going to be shallow and flippant and one day up, one day down. One day, are you God or not? One day, other day, yes, you are my God. We're double-minded. No, Christ is coming to establish us in stability and in security. In this divine hour of 5, 7, 8, 6. He's our battle bow. From him, the battle bow. That's Christ, our victor. Every ruler, Christ, the King of Kings. And church, I want to prophetically declare this is an unusual year of the Lord's set time. In his calendar, in his timeline, he is positioning his people for his purposes. There is a bringing of a wholeness to bodies, to souls, to spirits for kingdom purposes. And so I'm going to ask us all now to stand up on your feet, and we're going to declare and decree with our spoken words, our vows, our mouths, this decree. And as we make this declaration together, mean it with all your hearts. This year we say, God, we stake our claims. Establish us. We want to come into this divine set time of the Lord. Open heavens, heaven on earth, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in my life, in my marriage, in my family, in my business, as it is in heaven. So let's all decree and declare this together. 1, 2, 3. I decree that my life is fastened like a nail in a sure place. I am anchored in Christ, secured by his covenant and victorious over every enemy. Every stronghold in my mind or territory is being dismantled in Jesus' name. I will partner with God to proclaim the gospel of Christ and the goodness of God everywhere I go. Today, I stake my claim for my family, my faith, my freedom, and my future in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen. Lift up your hands as I just lead us in prayer. Yeah, Father, we thank you, God, for this set time of the year of the Lord. We thank you, God, that this year is an unusual year. We have stepped into a prophetic timeline of your calendar. God, where there is grace, there is an open portal for us to declare, let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done. Superimpose heaven on earth. To see a visual demonstration of the supernatural, there is going to be such divine communication with heaven like never before. It's a divine connection. It's a divine linkage. And we thank you, Jesus, for becoming the vav for us. That as you took those nails in your hands and those nails in your feet, God, essentially you were becoming a vav between heaven and earth. Earth connected back to heaven. And so, Lord, today I speak over this congregation that every day as we awaken, God, to fresh breath, God, we awaken to the knowledge and the revelation that we can see your kingdom come. We can see your will be done in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our businesses, in our churches, in our ministries, on this earth, here as it is in heaven. God, we thank you for the access you've given us into spiritual and heavenly realms. God, and teach us what it means, God, to pull heaven down to earth, because it was you who taught us to pray this prayer. And so, Lord, I thank you. God, we pray for a divine convergence in this house. That every time we gather like this, we will see a divine convergence of heaven on earth. There will be manifestations of the supernatural, God. Holy Spirit, we just give you permission and full rights to move in this place as you so desire to. We bless you, Lord. And now I speak your blessings upon the saints of God. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you all his peace. And now I speak the favor and the blessings of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, abide in you, now until forevermore. And all of God's people say, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a mighty praise offering. Hallelujah.
You've just just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.